Hey guys, welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, episode number 131. In this episode, we are just taking a quick look at the first episode of the second season of Star Trek Discovery. There is no guest, because I really hate this show, and so if anybody came in here to talk about it, I'd probably embarrass myself and them. So we're not going to invite anybody. I am your host, Vince. Over there is Phil.
Hey.
There's Phil saying hi. I want to remind you that Three Drinks In is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, and Radio Public. Just search for Three Drinks In Podcast. You'll easily find us. Click subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Three Drinks In Pod. Like us on Facebook, and all emails can be sent to 323... Almost had it all out. ThreeDrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. That's everything.
That's it.
All right. Here we go.
In a couple of days.
Yeah, I know. It's like a freaking, you don't like the weather, just wait longer.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So,
all right. So, Star Trek Discovery started again.
I had no idea. I don't know if it was that I didn't care or that it just wasn't advertised or I wasn't paying attention to any ads they had.
It wasn't as big a deal this time.
No. And I, you know, that's new Star Trek show, and they were going over all the new stuff they're going to do, and new this, and yeah, this is different, and that's different, and it's like, okay, great. I never got excited, and then, oh, okay, so season one's over, and I guess they're not, like, they don't have new stuff. Except for Anson Mount.
Yes, Anson Mount.
And his chin. God, that man is handsome.
Yeah. His jawline goes for miles. Yeah, he is quite handsome.
And he has this sort of like wonderful, charming swagger about him.
Yeah.
You know, he's just, not a lot of TV stars have that without looking staggeringly insincere about themselves.
Like he's just sort of happy to be there.
Yeah. He appears to be the only one as such.
Well, I think he is just happy to be there because I watched this guy. He used to be on Hell on Wheels. And he didn't do a lot of smiling in that show. He was like the grizzled old war vet on the losing side of the Civil War. And they used to do interviews with him, and people always teased him that he was in that Britney Spears movie, Crossroads. It's like one of the boyfriends.
Really? I forgot that movie existed.
Yeah, everybody did. And he was like, I'm lucky to be working. I was in Britney Spears' movie Crossroads. Like, I'm just happy to be here. Yeah,
I have no business being here after that at all.
Yeah, so like a lot of the time it's always like, hey, I'll take what I can get. Like, I just enjoy working, so this is pretty good.
That's really funny.
Yeah. But he's in this. He plays Captain Pike.
Yes, the famous Captain Pike. Who, for those of you who have no idea, well, I don't know why you'd even be tuning into this episode if you didn't know what we're talking about. But Captain Christopher Pike was the original name for Captain Kirk. They didn't like the actor or the name, and so they ditched both. Did they reshoot the cage?
No, but... Gonna be some nerd screaming at me through the ether. I don't think they reshot it, but they referenced it like it happened.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of these fun things that they did, which I don't know. Like it speaks to the show in that they decided that, you know, they weren't gonna gloss over mistakes they made by burying them, but they didn't have to like point them out either. Just like there was a guy, and this is what he did, and it's over now, and blah, blah, blah. Like they didn't make a big deal out of it, but they didn't ignore it either, which is kind of how the show's, you know, that aspect of the show continued as such, and that we were building a long-standing canon of stuff that happened.
Well, I think a lot of people wouldn't let them forget it either.
There was that, but also I think there's an advantage to that. If you have fans who are that invested in what you're doing, say that, oh, what happened to Captain Pike in episode one, the unaired pilot? You could look at that as
I enjoy nerdy guy's voice. That's
but like
I'm enjoying why.
But you could look at that as a hindrance, or you can kind of like embrace it and go, fine, you guys will eat anything then. And so they had to work harder to make everything sort of fit, but they were, you know, people kind of came along for the ride. So Christopher Pike is replaced by, Captain Kirk. I don't know. I'm sure there was a reason for it later on as to what they explained it away as, but... In this show, which of course they assure us is all canon, don't worry about it. In this show, the Enterprise was off on its 5-year mission. It was far away.
It was far away,
and they couldn't get there in time.
Yes, they were told not to come back.
Okay, and then they got hit by one of the events in this, the MacGuffin type things, and it knocked out the Enterprise's power systems, and the Enterprise is now useless. They have to get it fixed to the shop.
Yeah, scanning whatever they were scanning, like, half destroyed the ship's computers, so they, like, can't go anywhere, but they want Pike to continue the mission. And they want him to just put him on a different ship, and it happens to be the Discovery. And he's like, well, while the ship is getting fixed, let's go out and explore, and we'll figure out what these things are.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. So what did you think of the first episode of season two?
I didn't hate it, and I think that's a lot of because I already kind of knew what it was going to be like. Like, last year, I was, like, stunned at what it was. Like, oh, this is really different. And this year, it was exactly the same. So I was like, yeah, this is just what it was before with a new person. And I can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to slowly change it so it doesn't stink. And they're, you know, it's only been an episode. So they're obviously having some trouble with that. It's painfully awkward how like what they're trying to do now doesn't mesh at all, and they just jammed it together anyway. And that's fine. That's not like Star Trek has never done that before. Like, we're just gonna pretend what happened before didn't happen. But it is kind of like awkward at first. I do like Anson Mount. I think he was a good addition. But they still have a ways to go. I didn't realize that they had so many changes to people like running the show. So like Brian Fuller was the guy who helped create the show, and he left before the last season even started. Creative differences kind of thing. And then they had two other people, and they had to leave for... I think hashtag Me Too reasons or something.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so the show has had a lot of difficulty behind the scenes. I don't know how much of that is affected by, you know, what they're actually putting out, but I can see that being an issue because it's extremely like schizophrenic.
Yeah, it is kind of all over the place on every level. You know, on a production design level, on a costume design level, on an acting level, on writing. Like, it's just like, we don't really quite know what we're doing, but they're throwing money at us, so you got to do money. Something.
Yeah. It feels like the show is now trying to know what it is, and it's just hard to get to that. Like, last season, the show had no idea what it was doing. It was a war show. It was a character study. It was a Star Trek thing. It was all over the place. It was funny some episodes. episodes. Some episodes were unbelievably depressing. This one is more like, all right, let's get to what we wanted to do, which is explore the life of this one person on the ship and explore a little bit of space. It's just hard to get to that.
Yeah, and they're not helped out by, and this is no excuse, by the way, but they're not helped out by the way in which television is produced now versus how it was produced in the 1990s, which was you had time. You didn't have to have the whole thing figured out right away. You could, you know, it's bizarre. Like now, you only have to come up with like 10 or 13 episodes per season of a show. But we'll cancel you in a heartbeat if we feel that you're not, you know, making any kind of impact. Years ago, you had to produce somewhere between 23 and 26 hours of television a year, which is, you know, it's a lot. But they also they kind of gave them room to just have a shit one here and there. Like, didn't matter. You can do one. This one's a bottle show. We're going to save some money. And this one is a this one. And, like, you know, so you kind of had time to let certain things breathe. And I don't know how this works economically or what, but like, so they're under more pressure now, I think, to get some of this stuff right quicker. Whereas you could get away with things. I mean, Next Generation didn't show a good episode until season 3. I mean, none of them were good for 2.5 years. And they still paid everyone to do it. So, like, that's a lot. And even DS9 has a bunch of crap episodes here in the, you know, in the first couple of years. I think it started stronger. You know, Voyager's the same way. Just kind of bouncing around doing, you know, who knows what for a while before things kind of get cohesive. It wasn't until you get to Enterprise where it's like, all right, enough of this horsing around and just let's have a thing. And it was a combination of you need to make the show more exciting and the writers wanting to make the show more exciting, independent of the fact that they were being told to. And so you ended up with the whole Zindi thing, which is, it seems like that's kind of what they're doing here, is that they were all over the place in the last season. They had an arc, you know, and there was stuff that certainly connected all the episodes, like the war itself and Lorca being from the evil universe. Just, I used to laugh at that. But they did have a lot of, like, you know, there was one legitimately good episode with Harvey Mudd and the time thing. That was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. You know, so there was a lot here and there that was not terrible. But it was just, right, schizophrenic is the best word for it. And now they're kind of like, all right, let's just sit down and hammer out something that we can all agree on. I don't know if it's going to work because you just need more time with this stuff. It doesn't happen that fast. And everything sort of seems artificial as a result of that.
Well, they still have to decide what they're going to do. What is this show focusing on? And that's something that, you know, I've written a few things. You don't always know. It'll often be different by the end from the beginning, which is fine. That's a first draft. When you do more drafts than that, you need to know. Like, you sort of figure it out. And it seems a little bit like they've kind of, like, hit on something here now. The show is about Michael Burnham, this woman on the ship. Okay. Unfortunately, they picked the most dreary, boring person. You know, especially when you have like an ensemble show, and Star Trek's always been a group of people on a ship or a station. And in this one, they went out of their way. You know, he said, okay, what's everybody's name? Like, who are you people? And they like go through everybody's name on the bridge. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that character had a name. She's been sitting there for 10 episodes. I guess that's a start. They still don't do anything. They just push all the buttons.
And the things they do, like, it's not clear what everyone's job is. I think that's what's bothering me most about the bridge crew, is that they've sort of solidified, okay, these are your actors. You know, there's the girl with the really stupid haircut and the thing along her eyeball. There's the black girl at the helm, I guess.
No, she's not the helm.
Then the other redhead.
The other one.
The
redhead's at the helm.
Okay, there's the black eye on in the back. There's the robot lady. The robot lady. I mean, we'll get to all that. Sorry. stay on track. There's another guy, I think.
I think.
I don't know. Like, it's just, it's unclear. And that annoys me. Like, everyone had a job. Everyone had a name and a job. And it just helps orient you in terms of where you should be focusing your attention and what you should be expecting when the camera goes to one person. Like, when the camera cuts to one of them, I don't know what information that person is likely to give you. But when you were on any of the other shows, if the camera went to Worf, it was about blowing something up. If the camera went to Data, it was about learning something. If you cut back to engineering, it was about, you know, the status of the ship. If you cut to Troy, it was about emotion, Riker about decisions, and then no-name person sitting at the helm was just the driver. You know, you knew what information to expect, which is important in a sci-fi show when none of it makes any sense. It's all made-up nonsense. Mm-hmm. So it just, if you're going to cut through some of the jargon, it just helps to have, you know, clarity in terms of who people are and what their jobs are, you know, because there are a lot of them and they were there all the time and you just never really bothered to focus on them, even to the point of like their names. That's why that's true. It's like, what are your names, by the way? Although he does say ranks don't matter. I'm like, well, that's an odd thing for you to say.
Right. I think he was trying to be like, you, even if you're the ensign, you can say your name.
Could be. You know, he kind of has this sort of informal, I'm not the other guy kind of style, which is fine.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know why they had to, like, stress that. I mean, isn't that the fact that guy was an evil doppelganger from a different universe kind of, like, rare? Like, that doesn't happen very often. I'm not him. Yeah, no shit. I mean, he was, it was an unusual thing we had happen to us.
That was really bizarre, right? Like, we were...
Yeah, like that was a little strange.
Yeah. So
did he have to come with the Lieutenant Asshole?
Lieutenant Expendable over there?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was so silly. I was just like, well, you're not going to last past the 38th minute here. What the hell?
Yeah, I didn't understand, like, really? That's really just, it would have been more shocking if he was a nice guy.
That's the thing. Like, they did that with, that was a thing from last season too. There was Lieutenant Hubris who came in and just decided to do something stupid and got herself killed.
Yeah, what was that about?
It's the same exact thing here. I don't know. Like, I guess they want to give you the impression that space is dangerous. Like, we really need to be reminded of that. Every 5 seconds, something blows up. It's not like, and I get it that people can die and that's a bad thing, but you're right. Like, have him be nice, and that way we'll feel more sad when he's dead. But if he comes across as a jerk, we're not going to have a lot of sympathy for him. We're like, well, thank God that guy's dead, because I don't have to listen to him talk anymore because he was obnoxious.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it also serves to highlight what I think is a flaw, and it's a term that gets used too often. But I think in this case it applies. Your main character is Michael Burnham, this woman. And she is a Mary Sue. And she can do absolutely everything, and she's smarter than everyone. I mean, she outwitted the damn computer last season.
Mm.
Now, the reason I'm saying this is not because I hate women or whatever stupid thing people would normally say. And you were talking about those other characters in the other series that they did focused episodes on minor characters who weren't on the bridge. They were not always there. You know, what's it like in a day in the life for those characters? And they were one-offs and they were interesting. And in this originally was the premise of the show where they were saying, we're not focusing on the captain. We're going to focus on somebody else. Well, that's great. I mean, okay, these people clearly have lives. Every character is the hero of their own story. But at the same time, you have to keep coming up with these ridiculous scenarios to jam her into them. because she's not supposed to be there. Okay, is she the doctor? No, but there she is blathering on about someone's medical history. Is she a science officer? Kind of. Well, there she is. She's the only one who can get through this asteroid field. She's also a capable warrior and all this stuff. Like, she's just so good at everything because it's the only reason to have her be in a scene. Yeah. It's unbelievably frustrating.
So, yeah, you mentioned those two episodes that I said we should look at. So from Next Generation, it was The Lower Decks, and from Voyager, it was The Good Shepherd. And so the thing about those two, like, as episodes, as one-off episodes of TV shows, The Lower Decks is a far superior episode than The Good Shepherd for a lot of reasons, but mostly because they kind of stuck to one premise, which was we're going to tell the story entirely from the point of view of minor characters that you usually see in the background sipping drinks and tend forward or walking around the hallways who don't really matter. Who are these people? And they keep saying, like Picard keeps going on, there's 1,000 people on the ship. 1,000 people? That's a lot of people. It's an enormous thing. There was like one episode where they talk about like things that happened that day. I think it was Data recounting information for the doctor that wanted to take him apart. The episode where he does like all the voiceover. Mm-hmm. And he talks about like there was a secondary school play and like there's like an entire city basically on this ship. So they said, let's do one episode about who these people are. And they all kind of interacted tangentially, in some cases directly, with our main characters. And so that was interesting to see a lot of these things from their points of view. We saw almost nothing without them in it. I think there was like one scene in like the they're playing cards, but they're the two different groups of people are playing the same card game in different rooms at the same time. So like essentially you see everything from their point of view. And then one of them dies at the end of the episode. You know, they talk about, or they, it's a Bajoran, it's a whole thing with the Cardassians, and you know, she, this character that you've gotten to know over the last half an hour gets killed. You know,
so and,
but that, it just, it's a wonderful sense of, and that's the thing that happens to these characters. The guy in the red shirt gets beamed down and gets killed. And that's what happens in this episode. Is the girl in this case the yellow shirt, she gets killed. So like it kind of completes everything. The Good Shepherd, I don't think, is as strong an episode because it's really about Janeway, and Janeway has found three people that don't conform to what she wants them to do, which is kind of the problem with the show, is that nobody ever has a different thought. Well, they all kind of work together despite the fact they don't like each other.
But that one's not that they don't conform. It's that they're not supposed to be there.
Right. That's the only interesting thing about it, is that they were all... The one guy was there because he had to do a year's worth of space service to get into some academy. And the other two, they say, would have washed out in the first year and had to be reassigned somewhere else. But they're stuck there.
Right. Which I thought was interesting, too, because I was like, how do you do a story with people who aren't very important and really shouldn't even be there at this time? So like all the other characters in The Next Generation, they want to be there, but these characters, they're not good at what they do. They're not interested in it. You know, how do you bring people like that into the full? Which, you know, that's an to me, that's interesting as a teacher. You know, how do I get the students who aren't really interested to at least pay attention?
Yeah. You know?
But you're right. It's the same kind of thing. And so on Discovery, when you have the same thing as your main character, you're constantly coming up with these contrivances to get her in there.
Yeah, at least
it's like ridiculous.
At least with the one with, like, you could actually see them building an entire show out of the Good Shepherd episode. Basically, you know, one super talented lady has to take three misfits and, you know, spend time turning them into model officers. That's a show. You can make an entire show out of that. They're not really doing that here, you know, and they could be. But you're right. She can do everything already. She has nothing to learn. She can't develop if she's basically the best at everything.
Right.
So we just have to watch her be sad
Well, all of her story is her being sad, and we constantly get like flashbacks about how she got this way, and they are boring as hell.
Oh my God.
Every time they do a flashback, I zone out real hard. Because I don't care. I don't care.
She's just not an interesting character. She's got no development to make. Like, what the heck are they going to do with her? She has to repair the relationship with Spock that we didn't even know she had. I mean, like, I guess we're supposed to figure that out because she lived with Sarek. Which, by the way, this whole thing annoys the crap out of me. That, like, by the way, there's this entire character that we've never bothered to mention, even though you've met everyone else related to her. Sarek was in several episodes of the original series and Next Generation. Spock's been in a bunch of crap. Never comes up. And they're making her out to be like they had a very powerful relationship that's been destroyed. So why haven't I never heard of you before?
Well, that's the other problem with the show besides her is that for some reason they decided to keep it as a prequel. And last year they kept saying, like, it'll all make sense. It'll fit in. You'll see. And what they did was half of it was from the Mirror Universe. So, like, oh, you got me. That wasn't the real thing. But now we're not in that anymore. And they're still insisting. And it's kind of like, I'm a casual enough fan to be like, throw my hands up and just say, why don't you just say it's not the same, man? Just say it's a reboot. What do I care?
Yeah, I don't know why they're kind of so wedded to it. Maybe because of the Abrams timeline thing?
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with this.
Right, but like, they didn't want to do the same thing as them. And like, you know, we're just going to keep splitting this off into different, you know, universes or ideas or whatever.
Well, I mean, I don't understand what this fascination is with the past, too. Like, oh, it'll be more interesting back then. Why? Why not just keep going forwards? It doesn't have to be a lot.
Honest to God, I think it's just laziness.
But it's making more work for them.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also stupidity. Like, well,
I'm not asking, but they are getting these questions as to why does this look different and this character's never been mentioned and how are you going to square this circle? It's like, dude, if you just said it was something new, you wouldn't have these problems.
No, they wouldn't, but they really feel that we can't. I don't think they're talented enough to do it. I just don't think so. Like, the people who work on this show are not that good at it. If they were better at it, the show wouldn't be crap, and it's crap. Like, if they could legitimately come up with a new concept or a thing that takes place after all the stuff we already know has happened, like, they're going to try to do it with Picard, and you and I had an entire conversation over email being like, what are they talking about? It's already a bad idea. It's harder to do new stuff. So they figure we'll make old stuff more woke, and we'll throw in characters that people know in either bits and pieces or, like, you know, putting Pike in there for a long stretch just because it'll keep the nerds interested in, you know, just coming back to watch and pay that subscription fee. But I think it's too hard for people to come up with new stuff, especially when the new stuff does rely on the old stuff. And so you do have to kind of, you know, marry all those things together for cohesion. But you're right. It's harder to do this in a way because once you put yourself in the middle of a story, you have to sort of invent ways to make connections to the stuff that we're familiar with. It's since they're not straying that far from that to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, oh, it's very frustrating. So I had some notes, just things that struck me about this episode. Things I might have missed from before. Anyway, so Michael is still a stupid name for a girl, right? We're agreed on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dumb. Let's see. The blind guy in the transporter.
Yeah, he had like a visor on.
Sure, why not? You know that, right? You watched the other guy from Reading Rainbow. He had that.
And I don't remember if they ever said that his was the only one. I don't think so.
I don't think they did either, but I think that, I mean, by the end of it, they just gave him...
They just gave him eyes.
Gave him eyes. I don't know. I guess that was just kind of like, well, we're going to make some movies now. Might as well get, you know, this is kind of an old, silly thing to do.
Yeah, I always found it really odd that he had it in, to begin with. Because there was the idea that they were genetically fixed. Like, it fixed those things before you were born. And that somehow this one, like, got away. And he needed this thing to see.
Yeah. And I don't know. There were times, I think, that they mentioned, like, why don't you just get these kind of, like, they clone you new eyes? And he's like, I don't want to. I like these better. This is, which is kind of a neat thing. Like, this is who I am. Like, this is how I see things.
Right.
Well, and they're better than eyes. You can see all kinds of stuff with them.
Yeah. It always, like any sci-fi thing, it turned out to be way more useful than they wanted to admit. You know, like having an android on the ship was half the reason the ship never blew up.
Yeah, right.
Think of how many scrapes they got out of because that's of
kind that. Kind of handy. Why can't Saru shake hands? Was that a thing from the last season? He didn't shake people's hands? Like he couldn't figure out?
I don't think he knew how to do it, right? Wasn't that the joke?
I guess so. It just looked awkward. Like we watched you go through an entire series or season. We didn't know you couldn't do like the basic human greeting.
Yeah, he was also waving his arms when he walked a lot more.
Look at my makeup hands.
It was just the most distracting thing.
Jazz hands. They get all over the place.
Like, I knew that guy walks on the balls of his feet. I mean, he's also ridiculously tall and thin, that character.
Yeah.
And he has an odd step because he's wearing odd shoes. But now he walks like as if he's sashaying down a runway like a squid. And I'm like, why is he doing that? You got to give him like a 4 foot wide berth. That's ridiculous.
I've decided that I hate their uniforms.
Oh, I don't understand that. I don't understand what they're doing. When Pike gets on the ship, he goes, at least we got the new uniforms. But you just said you were away for 5 years. When did you get new uniforms?
It doesn't make any sense. But also, just the way that they look is just garbage. The weird neck thing where one of the lapels comes down longer than the other one. There's different types of fabric. Like, there's like, some of them are like shiny and sparkly. Some of them are just striped and sparkly. It is unclear what, again... You have to convey a lot of information visually. You know, in the old shows, everyone had a color, and their color told you roughly what you were doing. You know, red was command, gold was security and engineering, and blue was the sciences. That was very helpful. They don't want to be helpful, so tack with you. It's just very frustrating. But they just look like garbage, and they're trying too hard. Something about Pike doesn't know Starfleet protocol. There was something they had to remind him of, like, oh, you can't just do this or do that.
Right. Well, that's because after the last captain turned out to be a psychopath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They were like, oh, we just instituted this new rule.
Yeah. God, Tilly sucks is what I had.
Yeah, well, she's one of those characters that's like, that got changed real quick, which is fine. That's what happens in these shows.
Yeah.
If you watch Odo in the first season of Deep Space Nine to the last, he's basically a different person.
So is Quark.
Yeah, like the characters change as they go, but Tilly was like autistic or something. Like, she was not with it, and now she's just kind of neurotic, and that's a change they made, so... Still annoying.
I actually thought that the autistic thing was more interesting. Because now this is just, she's goofy and she's the comic relief.
Yeah, now she's goofy. Before she like had a mental problem.
Yeah, and it made it difficult for her to relate to people and made it a challenge for her to relate to Michael, who was her roommate. And yeah, no, I mean.
Well, the engineer guy was the same way too.
He was just a jerk.
But he was like an ultra jerk, and then and now he's just not. He's just a nice person now.
He's very mellow.
Yeah.
Chilled the fuck out.
Although I don't know what his job is anymore.
Neither do I. Job, what job? Just gonna show up here and want to do some science stuff.
Well, he was, wasn't he like the spore guy? Like he knew bacteria. So why is he still there? You're not doing that anymore.
I don't know. I don't even know how, like, his lab is not the engineering, right?
No, it's different.
Have we ever seen engineering?
No, because they didn't need to go there. They always used the spore drive.
Well, they're going to need to go there now, right?
Maybe?
I don't know. The spore thing was so stupid.
I mean, I also remember that Ezri Dax was the same way. Remember, they replaced the character at the or the actress at the end of the sixth season to the seventh.
Oh, yeah.
And in the sixth season, she was like, you know, your science officer. In the seventh season, she's your psychiatrist. And yet they had her on the bridge.
That's true. There was
just sort of ignored it. Like, well, she's just here now. So
she wasn't there a lot. But when she was there, you were like, why are you there? You have no reason to be there. It was really like, you know, the last couple episodes. Like the big battle sequences, like why would she go with them? Like
she's there on the bridge. I'm like, what is she doing?
You know, it's anyway. Did they? So my notes are just funny. Like, is that a goddamn camera? They had a camera. Remember that? They're like,
no.
We don't know what this is. We have to take pictures of it. And they go, oh, we have the camera. Break out the camera.
Oh yeah.
And like they literally had a camera with an f-stop and a whole thing and a shutter.
It was to scan the hull.
Okay, but they have sensors.
Well, I don't know if the sensors reflect back on the hull. I don't know.
But like it was a very awkward piece of 20th century technology that just showed up here. I go, and I'm fine not knowing how the sensors work. Sort of one of those things, and there's a lot of them in this series. Like, you don't quite know how the sensors work, or the deflector dish, or, you know, like warp drive, you kind of have to explain, and the transporters, but like, for the most part, you're willing to suspend your disbelief and go, fine. But like, a camera? It just seems so out of place. And then, mm-hmm. Saru, this is my favorite part. They get a picture of the ship that they're supposed to go, oh, look, there's a ship there. And then they go, we can't, the sensors can't quite make it out. Hey, Saru, can you see that far? And then he looks at the view screen, and for some reason, his eyes are super duper eyes, and he can see the name of the ship.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that reminded me of like the first season of Next Generation when the sensors wouldn't work as good as Geordi's visor, so they'd send Geordi out of the room into the hallway to go look out the window. Yeah. And I remember like not having seen some of those early episodes and going back and looking at them, I was like, did they just tell them to leave the room like a 2-year-old? Go look out the window for 5 minutes and tell us what you see. It's the same thing. It's very funny. Did you catch that they're mixing sounds now?
Yes.
They are playing sounds from both Next Generation and the original series.
Yes, I did.
That's confusing.
Well, that doesn't bother me.
It.
You have to ignore the aesthetics. You have to.
I guess.
Like, obviously, this is not a show from the 1960s. We have technology now.
Right. So
Come
up with something new, though. Like, don't.
Yeah, well, that's just a nostalgia thing.
You know.
But it's not done for any purpose except nostalgia. So when I hear it, I'm like, well, that's the alarm. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, what I liked about Enterprise was that they started to blend the show's own sounds with that of the original show.
Yes. Everything about that show changed. If you go back and watch episodes from the first season to the last, the lighting changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they took great care and patience to say, we're going to very slowly turn this ship into, you know, the Enterprise that you like, even including the bad soap opera lighting that you got in the 1960s.
Yeah, but they don't do that with this one, so which is fine. It's just this is the style of the show.
Yeah, and I don't want them to do things that remind me of the old stuff. I want consistency or I want them to be original. I want, but like you can't just do whatever you want. And this is sort of emblematic of the whole thing. Like, we'll just, they'll throw shit in there because the nerds love this stuff. You know, it's just, it's, they're not doing it to be disrespectful, and it's silly for me to be insulted by it, but I kind of am, because they're just trying to make money off of it, and that's all that they're doing. I guarantee you, someone from the studio was like, oh, well, why don't you put some sounds in here from this? Maybe it'll sound different, or, you know, maybe he's less specific in his instruction, but, like, they're being told to do this, or they're really incompetent, or both. I don't know. Glam suits. Everyone, they had glam suits. Did you catch that?
Is that when they went onto the those little things?
They're all shiny.
Oh, yeah.
What the? They're color coded. They look like ABBA. What the hell were they doing?
Well, I don't understand what the uniforms are all about.
Yeah, no idea. All right. So like. The thing now that they discover there, the asteroid of non-baryonic matter, you know, it's dark matter that you could hold in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess like they're going to run around the galaxy trying to grab these, you know, go to investigate these phenomena. And they come across this stuff, these rocks that glow kind of blue, and Tilly says to Michael at one point in the infirmary, it would be an unlimited efficient source of energy. Is it me, or are all these things always about that?
Yeah. Well, I was a little surprised because I was like, what does that have to do with anything?
Right. I think that's going to be the side thing. Just like the Spore Drive was the side project to whatever else they had going on. Or so you thought. Until you realized that Lorca somehow knew that doing certain things with the Spore Drive would cause the rift in the dimensions, and even though they didn't explain that or anything. But what I'm confused about is, like, there's never been an issue before in Star Trek. Like, we're going to run out of power.
No, it has.
I mean, but like never to a concern, like, you know, we really can't afford to do this because we don't have enough dilithium crystals. Like, it comes up in Voyager because they're, you know, far from home and that kind of thing. But there doesn't seem to be a need for the unlimited efficient source of power. So why are we worried about that now? And it's just going to distract from the main storyline unless they interweave them into it clumsily, which they probably will.
Right. I don't know what the point of it was.
Yeah. But it just seems like a very tired kind of trope. And I'm like, okay, fine. So you found more energy rocks. Great. Like, who cares?
So then what was that ship doing there?
I think she said that they were there and they got attacked and they crashed.
Okay.
And yeah, very awkward.
Did you enjoy that Tig Notaro's character?
No, not. I mean, it wasn't terrible because she was kind of funny and she had a certain cadence to her delivery, which I kind of enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the funny line where, you know, she's like, "How did you do this? You aren't a doctor," and she's like, "Oh, the body's just a machine. Plus, I read."
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
I don't understand all the casual swearing.
Oh, well, because we can.
Yeah, like, what's that all about?
Farts, boob, tits, ass. Like, just, yeah. It's like whatever Bart says to.
Yeah, crap, damn, crap, or whatever.
Crap, damn, crap. Yeah, no, we're just going to throw this in there because we can. We're edgy now. Star Trek's very edgy. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically, you know, I had weird things like the angel thing was funny. Like, what are they foreshadowing there? Did you find the capturing of the asteroid a little anticlimactic?
Yeah, it's like they ran out of time.
Yeah, they literally just like, well, we have all this stuff to do, so hit the brakes. Oh, we got it. We're good to go.
They're trying to change the tone of the show, or at least they've squished the two tones together. Okay, so you had last year's tone, which was dark and dreary and depressing, and now you have this lightness and awkward comedy and stuff like that, and they aren't playing well yet together. They may just try to change it to be a lighthearted kind of thing. I don't know if that'll be better. I mean, it certainly can't be worse. But I was reading interviews, of course, because I'm a dork, with writers from the other shows, and they were saying how, I think about halfway through season two of Voyager, they brought in a new guy, and he was like, look, this has got to go. Because all they were doing was complaining about being in this lost region of space. You know, the ship became a place where nobody wanted to be. He goes, so why would I want to sit down every week with a group of people that don't want to be there either? You know, so what they did was, he's like, I stopped writing lines where they would whine about being lost in space. You know, all these people signed up for this mission mostly, and all the other shows they definitely did. They want to be there. And he goes, I think they would try to make the most of a bad situation. So they like brightened the lighting on the show. People complained a lot less. They went out exploring. They should do that with this. And I hope that's what they're trying to do. Everybody on that ship signed up to be there. They want to go out into space and explore. They shouldn't look like they're prisoners on their own ship, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Ensign Mount has that. But the rest of them are all just like this dreary, like, the ship is still pitch black. Everything is made out of chrome, you know? You people live on this ship, don't you? Don't you want to be explorers? If you do, then that's why I want to be there. I don't want to watch you guys just be sad and depressed the whole time.
Yeah, I guess they get this from the J.J. Abrams movies too, but like it's a cold place, these ships. You know, like the original show was, you know, it was supposed to be metal or plastic or whatever, but it had color to it. You know, Next Generation, it was like, you know, it was like a yacht they were on. Everything was covered in carpeting and, you know, and DS9, you were kind of roughing it, but it became kind of homey in a way. And Voyager was the same kind of, like, you know, fancy pillows and everything. This stuff is just like, it's just like ice. And it works in, like, Enterprise because it's really more of a submarine on that show. You really got that sense that you were, like, tucked away in something, and that it's uncomfortable, it's cramped. But it kind of reinforced the newness of the whole thing, and you know, it worked there. And that's why Phlox's sick bay on that show was a great set, because it gave you a break from being in like the dark, gunmetal colored hallways of that ship, and Phlox's room was white and it was colorful and everything. Had all those crazy animals things. This show just feels just cold and lifeless. It's just the way it doesn't feel comfortable, like you'd want to be there at all. And like they were on the Enterprise for a minute, right?
No,
I thought they something about this is where Starfleet puts its pennies. Wasn't that a line about?
That's when they come onto Discovery.
Oh.
Like, they're really impressed with Discovery for some reason. Whereas the people on Discovery are really impressed with the Enterprise.
Yeah, that's where I was confused. Okay, that's odd.
Yeah. Like, that didn't make a ton of sense.
No.
They don't spend a lot of time on Discovery in any one place except, like, okay, Stannis' lab, where everything is dark and blue. They had Lorca's room, which was pitch black on purpose because he couldn't see. And then there's the bridge, which is where everyone is staring at a screen and they're washed out. You know, so they don't have nothing is bright. There's nowhere that I know where they are. You know, like everybody had their hangout spot. Geordi was always at that table at engineering. You know, Worf was behind the chair and stuff like that. You saw people's quarters. There isn't anyone like that. There's nowhere for them to like take a minute and breathe.
They try to do it with those fake candles in Michael's room, which I find sort of strange that like what, they have holographic candles. Like that's, I mean, it makes it look kind of warm and fuzzy and yeah, homey. Just, but it's just, that's just the setting for all those really long, boring Sarek scenes. And I just,
right. Well, I mean, are these people living on the ship or not? I mean, wouldn't you put up a photo of someone? You know, put up a prayer mandala. I don't know, something. You
potted plant. I mean, Picard had those fish.
The ship has to have a character, like a personality to it.
Yeah.
You know, they live there. Even Voyager, which was like as sterile as they come, you know, Janeway had the same computer on her desk that she used every day. Yeah. She had the same potted plant behind her every scene.
And they had the mess hall, which became the, you know, really the galley for Neelix.
Right. I mean, Deep Space Nine had, I always thought, the worst aesthetic, but they didn't spend a lot of time in their quarters because they were so hideous. You know, they had like the grid lighting. It looked awful. I was like, why did they do that? With like the zigzag shadows. I hated that stuff. They spent most of their time at Quark's, which was bright and loud.
Yeah. It was very colorful and sort of busy. Like Quark's outside of it, or maybe it was across, they had like this really weird flashy light thing. I think it was like a casino or something. I don't know. But like they were every place had a feel to it. You knew where you were. When you were in Odo's office, it had that green thing behind him.
Yeah, like the list of like people he was keeping track of, like perpetrators.
And the thing about that, like, yeah, I can see how the aesthetic for that show was sort of uncomfortable and it wasn't inviting, but that was the whole point, was that it was supposed to be alien. And over time, they did more things to it to make it look a little less so. They didn't do it completely. Like, the hallways were still the hallways. But Sisko's quarters had different lighting in them. Kira's quarters had different lighting in them. Sick Bay changed a little bit here and there. But you're right. They weren't in there in the hallways that much. They were always on the promenade and in certain places. But, like, the whole alien feel, it was made to look like these people didn't belong here, even though they really liked it and they wanted to be there. Which kind of which just reinforces the ultimate theme of the show, is that you end up finding out that you belong where you never thought you would, mm-hmm. and you end up becoming someone you never imagined. That's why that show was so damn good.
This show still has a little way to go.
Yeah, I don't see them getting there. I just don't. I mean, I don't work in TV anymore, but. I don't see them being given the room to do that. They spend a lot of money on this show. And if people are not continuing to subscribe, or if they're not gaining new subscribers because of it, they're not going to keep it.
Well, I don't know.
You know?
I canceled my subscription as soon as, you know, a month or two after it ended. So,
yeah.
And I don't watch anything else on that thing.
Yeah, we watched The Big Bang Theory, but just because, like, all right, it's this 12th season, you might as well give it, you know, finish it off. Mm-hmm. And some of the jokes on that show are still pretty funny. The story is silly, but
I just hope they figure out what they want to do with this show. Although, actually, somebody did call it Disco. I was like, can we not call it that?
Oh, God, Disco.
It's two more syllables. It's not that hard.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway. If you, listening to this, have thoughts about where you think the next season of Star Trek Discovery is going to go, you should let us know on Twitter or Instagram. We are at 3DrinksInPod. We are available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Radio Public. Click subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review. Click that like button on Facebook, and you can email us at 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. Is there anything else?
No.
No.
Not until the next week.
Well, maybe we'll just do like quarterly updates as opposed to, I can't do this every week.
We'll do it at the end. We'll do a wrap up.
Maybe in the middle too. We'll throw like a midway review. Yeah. Just keep abreast of the whole thing. So, all right, folks, as always, please drink responsibly, and we will talk to you all next time.
Take care.